Welcome to the Shark Pod, the podcast that explores business and lifestyle design in Ireland and beyond. And now, live from Greystone Studios, here are your hosts, Luke Curry and Mark Baker.
What is up, Shark Nation? Welcome to another episode of the Shark Pod, live from Greystone Studios. I got my co-host out there in Glenageary. How's it going, Mark Baker?
Good, Luke. Good to be back.
Good to be back in the saddle, back on the fins, back on the, I don't know, snow saddling.
In the water.
In the water. Yeah, getting our fins wet.
It's safe. It's finally safe to come back in the water.
Don't call it a comeback, my boy LL Cool J once said. But yeah, we've been away for a year and a half, Mark, and we are back with a bang. We're coming, we've got a clip of me and you live from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Coming up soon. Me and Mark are just back from the U2 gig in the Sphere out there in Vegas. Mark, what's your thoughts on before we go over to the boys on the Strip? What was your thoughts about the gig?
I think it's hard to describe. I'd say it's a once in a lifetime experience. Really, the Sphere itself, inside and outside. I think anyone who goes to Vegas should be going there.
Just, you know, I'd go see anyone there. Do you know, it was one of those things where...
anything. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Exactly. And I think
It's because I also think that it's not going to be matched. They're thinking of building one in London, but I don't think it's going to be matched in the near future anywhere I can think of, unless probably, you know, somewhere Dubai or something, you know.
I think if anyone wants to go... So just to give you any of those guys out there who are... or gals, for that matter, although mostly guys, let's get real, are there in Shark Nation. If they're thinking about going to Vegas and they may not have heard of the Sphere is this amazing kind of purpose-built concert venue that's got the best optics and sound, and it's just the most amazing. Just Google it. Say Las Vegas Sphere, and you'll see you two have a...
I think everybody's seen it by now.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. I've talked to some people, and they're like...
Really, yeah.
So have a look at that, but if you're going over... I would say, I'll tell you what, Mark, they better go quick. Did you see the operating number, operating losses of the Sphere?
I think that was just a news item. Like, that was just a bit of news, something to talk about. It's like, you're not going to make any money for the first few years, I'd assume.
Yeah, because it cost $2 billion to make. And I was watching Oppenheimer last night. It took $2 billion to make the atomic bomb. So luckily the boys know how to dismantle it.
Both in Atomic City.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. So, Mark, what the hell have you been doing for a year and a half, by the way? The Shark Nation keep emailing me saying, guys, what the hell? Where are you guys? Are you gone?
I've been here doing the same thing. slinging jobs and painting faces.
Painting faces.
And, why did we stop? We just got real busy and we kind of... The hardest thing about running a podcast, weekly podcast, which I think if you're going to do a podcast, it kind of needs to be weekly or bi-weekly, or even series done by series and then gaps, is getting people on to talk to, 100%. That we want to talk to and that we're enjoying it, you know. And
we did over 100 episodes where we released an episode every single week for 110 weeks. It was almost a kind of a stressful run for me. By the end, it became a little bit stressful just because I was always looking for new people to interview. And we talk about this so many times. It's been great for networking. I've built, you know, a very kind of strong network of friends, I would say, as well. Like, so I've met lots of great people. I want to keep that going as well. But I think that I've got a few ideas about what the future of the Shark Pod looks like. And it's going to be a lot more of me and you breaking down different things, you know? And then having guests kind of as necessary as we bump into people, as we see interesting people. I've got a short list from the last 18 months of people I'd love to kind of pick their brain on the Shark Pod. But I think that for now, it's going to be definitely more me and you having a chat, because you know what? We don't talk as much as we used to, Mark. I don't want to get all serious on you, but this used to be our place every week to have a chat, you know?
I think everybody can relate to that. Anyone over 30 anyway can probably relate to not seeing their friends as much as they should. So unless it's a scheduled even trying to schedule a pint or a coffee can be hard, but when you're scheduling a podcast, there's an accountability there, you have to turn up. So yeah, we probably haven't spoke to each other as much as, you know, and then you're only speaking to each other then when you want to bitch about something. So it's less kind of creative, more just kind of having a moan, or, you know. So I think the difference between having a chat with your mate and having a sit down podcast is it's more creative. There's more ideas. It's more interesting. It's more exciting, you know.
Just to fill people in on what I've been doing as well. I know we talked a lot about working in tech sales and stuff like that over the years. That was my previous role. I now, over a year ago, I left HubSpot, and now I'm a director in a HubSpot partner, so like a professional services consulting firm for CRM implementations, so helping people get started with HubSpot, that type of thing. So I've been doing that. So I have loads and loads of things I've learned along the way in the last year and a half. I've met some interesting people I think that could bring on the podcast as well. To have a chat with them, super successful people in business that we can bring on, some of my customers, some of the people I work with. So it's been a real roller coaster for me in a great way. So there's things that we could talk about there too. And I just remembered, Mark, I remember something.
Yeah.
We did a podcast just when I left HubSpot and I didn't put it out. If you want to see that, if you want to hear that podcast that was too hot for TV,
I don't remember though.
Email me luke@shark.ie and I will send that to you. Any of the people in Shark Nation that wants to hear some strong opinions there,
you know, some home truths.
But it was good. That was actually the last one we ever did. Maybe you were like, actually, I don't want to hear Luke whinge anymore. Here's a let's just hang up our fence. Anyway, so without further ado, I want to kick this over to me and you live from Mandalay Bay on the Strip. We went over there. Had a great time, 4 days, went to the U2 gig, most amazing visual audio experience of my entire life. There's about 40 minutes of me and you in the hotel room. We're drinking gin and tonics. We're just about to go to a country western bar, so we're all pumped up. We're talking about U2, we're talking about the gig, we're talking about Las Vegas, we're talking about the tipping culture. You'll hear all about this and Mark's opinion on these things over now. So without further ado, I'm going to kick it over to me and you live from the Strip.
And we are back with fresh gin and tonics here. We are on the Strip and we're talking about U2. So Mark, when I was a child, you gave me two things, right?
Love and affection.
Not love and affection, well, I suppose. But you started going out with my sister when I was 12 or 13 or something. And the first gift you got me for Christmas was a pair of Calvin Klein underpants, which is still a kind of a weird thing to give a child. Like,
you didn't look like a child.
I was 6'1" at the time.
But I honestly didn't think that was weird at the time. And everybody else did. So
it was great though.
They're a quality pair of boxer shorts.
I wore them until my early 20s, I believe, as well. So I broke them out on special occasions.
And they were white too.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah. you gotta come correct when it's
all right.
That's fine. They know. Okay. So anyway, the other thing you gave me was a discography of U2 burned CDs.
I don't really remember that.
Yeah, he gave me a stack of CDs that were burnt. From
those shiny kind of multicolored kind of CD things.
CDs kind of cases, you know.
Yeah,
and it had everything from the first album Boy up till I think it was up to All You Can't Leave Behind or and it was really cool. So I used to lie there in bed on Saturday mornings, Sunday mornings, and I'd put on a CD with my earphones on and I'd listen to the entire album.
Which, all of them?
All of them. I would just go through them all, like, and it was such a, you had a big impact on my U2. So I know George, my Uncle George is here.
I was just going to say, but it's so weird that, like, we're so similar and we have such similar interests. And I'm not sure if that's because we've rubbed off on each other or I've influenced you and vice versa. Because George as well, without me,
George, my Uncle George, that
service for you.
Yeah.
You know, the U2 thing, because he's passionate about U2 as well.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I think I think once I listened to the pop album, that was sold. Like,
so you know? What was your entry point into the U2?
So my entry point was my Uncle George, when I was a child, he used to live with us because he's 14 or 15 years younger than my dad. Right, so yeah. He lived with us and he had like big U2 posters and he was real into U2. And we were living in Canada at the time. And I don't know, I was always kind of around. And then when he came back to Ireland and we were kind of driving around the west of Ireland and the album All That You Can't Leave Behind was out. And he was playing that kind of on repeat. And that was my first time really, as I was about, I guess I was probably 12 then.
Yeah.
13 maybe.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when I really started to get into it. Then I started listening to pop. And then I started to go to that Rhythm Record Shop in Temple Bar.
It's now a Starbucks, I think.
It's a Starbucks now, which is so disappointing. Although yeah. I quite like Starbucks.
As you order a Starbucks.
I know, yeah. My name is Luke. I start writing it down. But no, that was the big turning point. I loved the kind of texture around U2. There's so much going on. You go into Rhythm Records, there's all these bootleg CDs that you can kind of finger through, do you know?
Yeah.
And I had like...
You got some Stockholm Live, Stockholm
Zoo TV.
Zoo TV tour.
Yeah, I love that DVD. It was like totally bootleg. Like,
when he sings like ABBA.
Yeah, ABBA comes out and sings with Bono and everything.
Yeah.
And Bono then was in that kind of Zoo TV area when he came back from being kind of like a hippie in Ratlin Hum in 1987. He comes back in the early 90s as this character, The Fly, who's like this rock star who doesn't give a fuck. Like,
who, if he lived anywhere, would probably live in Las Vegas.
Interesting. I think that's his kind of vibe for that, for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I was just into live performance and stuff, and I just, when I looked at other bands, they're just so boring. Like, there's nothing happening. They just get on stage. A good example is the Arctic Monkeys. People are not going to like to hear this because a lot of fans of the Shark Pod aren't the Monkeys, you know?
Yeah.
But goddamn, what a boring gig. I've been to a couple of theirs.
Really?
They just play the songs, get off.
Yeah.
There's never any kind of like artists against apartheid. There's nothing going on, like.
Yeah. Well, for a lot of people, it's about the music.
Yeah.
But U2, it's actually not just about the music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, it's just about the music, It's not. It's a color scheme. It's a story. Yeah. It's a character.
It really is the aesthetic.
Time. Yeah. The fairest, and the likes of, like, probably Larry Mullen probably never really changed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he kind of just fell into the photos. But I think Bono for sure. Let's face it, it's all driven by Bono.
Yeah.
The story, the characters.
Like, Octane Baby was always my favorite album. And I love every song on the album. There's no bad songs, in my opinion. And
it flows very well.
It flows well. I've spent a lot of time in Berlin with work. Walking around Berlin, listening to Octane Baby, you feel it. Yeah. I can't think of another band that has an album like that. Maybe, well, that's not true. Maybe like if I walked around like Alabama, listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd, I could think I could feel it. Do you know what I mean? That type of thing.
Yeah.
The South of America, you know, the South America, you know?
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, is there any other bands that you like have a connection to somewhere where you could... I don't know.
No, not that I can think of.
No.
The
really Beatles, maybe?
Liverpool? Not really.
I think London, when I think of the Beatles. Abbey Road and like...
Yeah, well, true, yeah. No, so that was your entry point, was kind of realistically all that you can't leave behind is...
Yeah.
Because that was the kind of that age.
It's also great. Like, people kind of sleep on that album as well. Like, we had a Beautiful Day. I love that song.
Yeah.
Elevation's kind of a fun one.
Yeah.
You know? Kite is an amazing song.
Yeah.
It's an amazing song.
That's the Gone of that album.
Yeah. And Gone is my funeral song. As we always say, like, I say to my wife, like, so Gone is for those people who don't really know U2, Gone is a song off the pop album. And has loads of distortion and stuff. And basically it's saying, like, you guys are fools. Like, what are you doing here? I'm already gone. Like, it's a great funeral.
Can we play these songs in between?
Yeah, we can do that. I'll put them in the background. This is Gone. Bang. You know? But yeah, so...
Written by Michael Hutchins?
What's that?
Or posthumously, is that the word? Dedicated to him, maybe.
Really?
I think it might have been written about him. Yeah. Well, he dedicates it to him in Mexico, Pop Mart, Mexico.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Makes
sense when he doesn't do it.
I think he's, yeah, so like Kite was great as well. I love when he gets to the crescendo in Kite.
Yeah.
When he just, especially live, it doesn't really come across as much on the album, I noticed. I think it's, if you guys want to listen to Slain, when he sings Kite, when his dad just died, Bono's dad, and he, you know, the bit where he goes like, I'm a man, I'm not a child, and he said it with such passion. It's such a great thing. Like, it's moving.
Mm. In fact, it was written on Colony Hill,
which is a place that's very close to where me and Mark grew up. I mean, we were talking about this on this trip. Me and Mark have had this interesting life where we grew up with the very kind of, I would say, I don't know. It's hard to say what I want to say about this.
Careful now.
Careful. But we grew up in areas where there was a real mix of type of people, you know?
Yeah.
I would say, you know, rich people, poor people, you know, people who are just getting by. And we came from the kind of more working class areas around Killiney Hill. And yeah. Bono lives on Killiney Hill. Bono lives, you can walk to Bono's house from my house. Yeah. But it's a different world. But it's so close. And I think, I wonder, are other countries like that? I don't know, is Ireland unique in that way?
Literally, there could be a road in between millionaires and like pretty tough, you know,
yeah.
Council estates.
It's really, like, so what I'm saying is, yeah, that album is what people are kind of sleeping on. It's loads of great songs.
Yeah. Even like The Ground Beneath Our Feet.
Shout out to Salvan Rushdie, wherever he is.
He's doing okay. Didn't he get attacked lately?
I think
recently.
Yeah. They don't like him, the lads.
No.
Hope everything works out. Anyway.
One thing I never got into with you two, like, I never really cared for the political stuff.
No, like, you know, like the.
And that's okay. And I think people think that you have to agree with everything Bono says. And just because you like you two means that you're a Bono fanboy or, you know.
Yeah.
Take what you want.
What? So you're saying you don't have to be, anti-AIDS or anything?
No, like you, with the
San Kuki or whatever.
You got that wrong.
You got it wrong.
Didn't
it,
he? What was the story with her?
No one bats 100%.
Yeah, I know, but like they really went all in with her.
Yeah, and she seems to
I love the Miss Sarajevo again. For anyone who doesn't like you too, you can switch off now. Let's face it.
Well, but this is you two live from the strip. Like,
yeah,
I think those people.
Maybe it'll be a double podcast, and we'll split it into the U2 focus one. But I know a lot of people like this. Miss Sarajevo live in Milan. What a effing tune!
Yeah, unbelievable.
But at the end of it, I think it kicks into nobody. Everyone should have the right to be free, and it's her talking or whatever, like, and it's
so who we're talking about is
know what she did after.
I forgot her name now, kind of, but
Anne,
like,
Yang Sung Chi or something.
Yeah,
I
mean. So basically she's a political person in
Cambodia, is it?
Not Cambodia, it's in
Burma
or
yeah.
Myanmar.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's called now. And but since then she's been kind of, it's been challenging news about her and with journalists,
genocide and stuff.
I don't know. I don't think it's genocide.
It's not.
I don't.
Are you sure?
I'm like, pretty sure.
Okay. But she's not. Yeah.
Apparently, she's not as cool as we thought. But yeah, anyway. Everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah.
You know. So I think what we're going to do is tonight. Me and Mark are going to go out. He's trying to get me to buy a fucking cowboy hat out here because that's how I want to experience America. Right.
Don't pretend like you. You're. That's not the exact type of thing that you do. Regularly.
I do. I've had many.
This is
a
guy who bought. He just. You know, commissioned a t-shirt to say artists against apartheid.
Apartheid. Okay, so what we're gonna do now, right? We're gonna get dressed. We're gonna go down the strip. We're gonna go to Gillies.
You want to wrap this podcast up? You're really raring to go.
I'm raring to go.
I could go another half hour with this.
I want to go down to the strip. We're gonna get ready. I want to get down to the strip. I want to go to Gillies, which is the Chili's. Gillies. I heard of someone called Chili's. I think it's actually Gillies.
I'd say Gillies.
Which is down on at Treasure Island, which is like a country western bar. Me and Mark went to Fremont Street last night, and Mark was kind of on the fence. So that's old Vegas, for those people who don't know.
What's really on the fence, as in...
I don't know if you liked it.
Like, it was grand. It was a million people, and it was like overhead was all this these like video, like what would you call it, like
neon
like screen, but, yeah kind of, there's live bands playing and
the music was clashing, which I don't like.
Yes And there was when we went into the casino, it was a little bit better.
That was my favorite part.
Focused. Yeah. It was actually having a bit of focus. It's sensory overload.
Yeah, it is.
That was the problem. I thought it was, to be honest, I thought it was going to be a bit more gritty, a bit less.
Yeah. Like
new age. Like,
to be honest, it's gonna be old fashioned. I was here 13 years ago and it was different then.
Really?
It was definitely a little bit, it was like physically darker. As in, like, there wasn't as much lights and stuff.
It was absolutely, I actually, Kim asked me, how'd you get on? I said Fremont was insane.
It was insane, yeah. It's too much, maybe. I don't know. Sometimes I think, I have this question I ask myself quite a lot, is, what's in it for me? Right?
What do you mean?
What's in it for me? I know what's in it for them.
Yeah.
I'll go down and I'll spend money and stuff, but what's in it for me? Like,
yeah.
And I felt a little bit like that on Fremont Street. What's in it for me? Am I kind of like harassed by kind of like scantily clad women who want me to give them money to take a picture with them?
Yeah.
Do you know, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Is it?
You did though, didn't you?
I did. I actually didn't. And then your one hit me with a whip.
Oh yeah, today.
That was today actually.
Yeah. That was just sore.
That was sore. I felt like if I did that, you know, I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. So in Fremont Street, it's a lot going on and I'm kind of like, I'm like you. I want to. Do you know what I actually said to Mark? What I'd love to do now, maybe it's my age, I want to go to a ticketed event. I want to be like, I'm going here. I'm going to go to the show. I've got my seat. I got my ticket.
We go. Well, you're going to the greatest show on earth tomorrow.
There's no show on the earth tomorrow that is better than the one we're going to. Yeah. Isn't that mad?
Yeah. Or no venue in the world.
There's no venue like this. It's like, I can't wait. Like, allegedly, I'm really, really excited.
We haven't been in it, but we're assuming. Based on anyone that's been, but yeah, Fremont Street. Look, it was definitely worth a visit.
Yeah,
and it was good crack. But I wouldn't mind like a bar with live music.
Yeah, and just talk to people and stuff. Like, I felt like
they couldn't hear yourself.
Do you know what I'm thinking about? Vegas. It's like there's so much going on. You can't even talk. Like everywhere else I go on holidays, I talk to loads of people. I haven't talked to anyone since I got here.
Yeah,
everyone's on the move.
Yeah,
aren't they? They're just like the best interaction I had with other humans is when that chick was in the limo on the strip and she was shouting out the roof.
Yeah,
and we were like shouting woo back and stuff, kind of egging them on.
Yeah,
that American stuff. I haven't talked to anyone else. So
that is right, because gambling is quite a solo and task. Like,
you see people's faces getting dark. They get so serious, like
it's very it's like I always thought going on a date to this, a first date or something to the cinema was a terrible choice.
Yeah,
you can't.
I did that with my wife, but I know.
Actually,
wait, no, I didn't have ID. I was 17.
But like that type of gambling is a very solo enterprise. Like it's not very communal.
Yeah, we were kind of gambling together yesterday.
But that's rare though. We were the only like two people doing it. Like,
yeah,
it was all, it's individual.
They're trying to give Mark a free drink because we were gambling, and he thought it was a scam and kept
I'm
saying
just
no.
Sick
no.
Of people trying to take my money here. Okay,
yes. And I was like, take the free drink. Come on, we're losing.
No, and it was too late then.
Yeah. But yeah, it's an interesting place. I just can't like. I really like it, and I love. I love to come to America and be like a voyeur on Americanism.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I love being here. I'm like flying the wall.
Great place to people watch.
Yeah.
Vegas.
Great place to people watch.
Yeah. So many freaks.
Oh, but like all sorts. There's freaks. Yeah. There's the kind of, there's different people there. So there's the freaks. Mm. There's the gamblers. Mm. There's the kind of flash people.
Yeah.
Isn't there like, it's like they've invented ways to stratify people.
Everything is a tiered system.
Everything's a tiered system. So
fucking pool is a tiered system.
It's crazy. If you go to like Spain, if you're on holiday going from Ireland, you're a resident. You're allowed to go to the pool, like, you know. Yeah. But in Vegas, you go to the pool. Okay, it's free to go to the pool. But if you want a seat that has any shade, you've got to reserve that and pay a lot. Like,
yeah.
And if you want a bed, a kind of like day bed, it's $450.
Just think about that. $450 just to lie, that everything is like anything that's really comfort or like, you know, lazy, you know, that's what costs money. Like
anything, yeah, like nobody wants, like, they've made a business out of every yeah. little thing.
Even the we walked by that runner shop, it was like, walk on pillows. they can't even, like, you don't even yeah. feel a bit of hardness in your feet. Like
they really want, like, it's and that's kind of, you just gotta, the worst thing you can do when you come to a place like Vegas is try to fight that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah. it's naturally in you if you're not used to it. Yeah, yeah. You just, it keeps hitting you over the head, and you're just like,
yeah.
Why would you do that? And then it's just like, okay, just embrace it for a few days.
Yeah,
it's only a few days, and it's that's what you days. Actually have to tell yourself.
Yeah,
because exactly. I'm quite strict on myself.
Yeah,
you know, like
but you're a logical guy.
Yeah.
So you're like, I want value for the money that I've earned.
Yeah, I'm not tight with money at all, but I'd actually rather spend on someone else than myself. But like, when I see people being weak in that way, I just think that's not a good road to go down. When you're afraid, you only want to walk on pillows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just think that long term, that's not good. For 4 days, it's fine.
I just think what we were saying as well. I feel sorry for the men here in America, because say if you're like, you're in Las Vegas and you live here and you bring some girl on a date and you're like, she's like, oh, let's go to the Mandalay Bay for the day, and you go there and you can't really afford it, but she's like, oh, let's get a cabana, it's like $450, let's get bottle service, it's $1,000,
12 quid for a can of Coors Light.
I can,
fuck's sake.
So just, and they do it with a straight face.
Yeah,
so I actually think it wasn't like that 13 years ago. I know it wasn't, because I was 21, I had no money. I still had a great time. I think, I don't know, things have changed.
No, it's one extreme to the other in Las Vegas though.
Yeah.
As we go back to that 6 euro steak meal.
Yeah. In the same city where you get a 6 euro steak, you can also get a $20 Bailey's smoothie. So it was Mark's round.
Like a champ.
It was Mark's round, and we were on the strip, and we said to him, we thought there was a sign that said $3 for $12, and it was some guy who was making like Bailey's, what are they, Bailey's slushies?
Yeah, smoothies, more of a smoothie.
Yeah, it was kind of a smoothie with Bailey's.
So thick.
It was really thick. And Mark said, can I have, I actually didn't partake. I was like, I just thought it wasn't my cup of tea. So no, I'm all right. But Mark got three of these. Was it three?
Yeah.
And they were $22 each?
Yeah.
For a Bailey's.
Yeah.
So your man says to Mark, yeah.
An alcoholic dessert.
Your man says to Mark, that'll be $64. Mark starts thumbing through his wallet trying to make it happen. It was just so funny because it wasn't worth $60. That's 60 euro. Like,
if I knew that's what it was, and that's what
we didn't even get to sit down, right? Like on the street. It was
that's like, fine. But it's because I was, it said three for fucking whatever it was. That was the problem. That was in my head.
Yeah.
No,
that's so funny.
That's the big shock I've got since I got this tickets to this trip.
Yeah, this free trip that you got, it's never cost you so much. Most expensive free thing you've ever got.
What about that girl that took your money?
I just like we were in a bar earlier.
This is the scab podcast.
They're being the scabs. They're robbing people's money. Like, I went to a bar where there was some guys who they were saying like Lionel Richie and stuff. It was in Harrah's or Harrah's.
We were hungover. Everybody was a little bit.
And so we got a round of drinks.
No, so we went to a bar which has two fellas on saxophones annoying the shit out of me, picking people out of the crowd to chat to, and I just want to put my head down. But anyway.
And anyway, so we ordered some drinks, and I'd just gone to the ATM, so I only had $100. And $100 bill, like, and I put it down, and the drinks were $70, and so the waitress just took that $30 as a tip.
But what did you said?
I said, can you break that and bring it back?
Yeah.
I'll give you the tip then, like.
Yeah.
And then she just didn't come back.
Yeah.
And she knew what she was doing, because she said, I remember you. She said, like, she mailed that at me.
Yeah.
Then we just had to leave. She robbed $30 from me.
Yeah.
In Harrah's, which is like a proper place. And she would have made me go up and, like, confront her.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to do that.
What's the maths on that?
What?
$30 for a 70 something drink.
Yeah.
Like, that's not an average tip.
It's 40%.
Yeah. No, that, like, it's 15 to 20 max, like, isn't it? Like, tip yeah. wise. Like, so
she just stole.
You got robbed.
Yeah. But, like, that's. It's. You got to keep your guard up here. That's it.
Yeah.
And also, $30 isn't going to break me.
I know, but still, like, just keep your guard up.
Yeah. Says the guys drinking basically free gin and tonics in the room. We've retreated. But we're going down to the country western place. Yeah. Mark has you know, an injured back sometimes. And he doesn't want to get on the mechanical bull. But I wanted on people to vote with their fins and tell Mark to get on the ball. But yeah, so we're going to do this. And so we're excited about the gig tomorrow. Can't wait, actually. I really can't wait.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, maybe after the gig or just before we get the flight home on Monday, we might do like a little bit of a review.
Mm.
And then we'll do like a before and after.
Yeah.
Shark pod.
So everything in life is going to be before the sphere and after the sphere.
100%.
Yeah. Because you know everyone is going to be talking about this venue
yep.
for years to come. Anyone who's, who's
I would
who,
say
who could play who, that's the thing, like who could play the sphere.
People say that. I think more people than you think. Elton John could play this.
Yeah,
I think
probably big DJs maybe.
I think it's perfect for big DJs. Like, because they're not really playing instruments, they just need the visuals. Like,
yeah,
I actually think yeah, I think that's people say that, but I think that almost adds to the mystique when they say, oh, it's going to go out of business because no one's big enough to play it. It's a real, like, marketing thing, I think. Do you know? Like, get it while it's going.
That's stupid. There weren't, like, 2 billion in and go, oh, shit. Have we thought about who can play here? Like,
yeah. It's going to be fun. But I think the majority of the middle class of the world will be in that venue at some stage.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Do you know what I mean? There's nowhere like it.
Yeah.
It's built for concerts.
It almost seemed like it popped up out of nowhere. Like, it kind of it was only in the news, and you know, the last few months.
It's the most magnificent building I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
and we're gonna be in seeing our favorite band kick it off. Isn't that amazing? I love it. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So we're gonna wrap it up.
Thank you to Kim and Luke for getting me here today.
Yeah. So Kim, my sister. sometimes we say things as if people know. So Kim's my sister, his wife. We conspired. We had a conspiracy to get Mark here, and he's here. We're gonna have a great time. And we're going to fill everybody in on what the gig goes like. This has been Luke and Mark. The Shark Pod is back, baby, and it's live from the Strip.
And what song will we leave them with?
What's an outro song? Love is Blindness? Too much. It's way too much. We could do 40.
I think Zoo Station.
Zoo Station, yeah.
Yeah, outro with an intro.
And here comes the outro. Yeah.
This is not a rehearsal.